If we want the city to prosper, you and I must put our hands in the plow and do the things that need to be done so that there will be a change.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, November 6, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Living in Exile. Our text comes to us from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 and 4 through 7. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, we are living in momentous moments and difficult moments because we're facing a nation that is in an uproar. And I like for us to understand, how do we live in a context like this? And we're going to go back to a book of the Bible that we've looked at before, but let's look at it through different eyes this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29. The people of God had not done right. And so God sent the powers of evil, and Nebuchadnezzar got him, and they took him into exile, and they're living in exile. And as living in exile, they experience different things, and yet God speaks through the prophet Jeremiah and tells them how we live in exile. We'll get into it. So let's go to Jeremiah 29, verses 1, and then we'll jump verse 2 and 3, and we'll go to 1, 4 through 7. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So now we have them in Babylon. This is what the Almighty, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. And give your daughters into marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And we believe the Lord speaks to us, don't we? As a matter of fact, without his word, we have nothing to say. Without God's word, we have nothing to say. And without your Holy Spirit, we will never be able to understand it. So we pray that God's word reaches your heart and that the Holy Spirit will speak to you individually and collectively, of course, but individually, so that you can understand what God is saying to you this morning. So I was watching a rebroadcast of a situation that happened many years ago with the Nazi occupation, and the forces were liberating those who had been in concentration camps. And there was a picture of this prisoner of war who was with a really awfully looking uniform, and across, as you could see him, you would see barbed wire around him, and he could not move outside of the camp. And there was a caption that said, "How can I live like this?" And true, how can you live like that? You can't. You can only exist in reality. How can I live like that? And as I could, the documentary went on, it speaks about the awfulness that can happen in society today and how it's difficult sometimes to make sense out of it and to get a grip on what is going on. This, of course, is a very, shall we say, difficult picture for us to understand. But it's not that difficult when we think about ourselves and we see that we live in an environment and we live in a culture that has become Well, we have become exiles in our own country. As Christians, we now have to live in a secular environment. We used to be a, quote, Christian country. And yet today, we find ourselves having to justify even if we say we believe in God. And that, if you dare to say, I believe in God. We are displaced believers in a secular world. We used to stand up for God and country, and today you can't stand for either of the two. Displaced believers in a secular world. You and I, believers in Christ Jesus, and yet it's almost like we don't want to hear what you have to say. As a matter of fact, don't speak to me. Jeremiah is the one who writes a letter on behalf of the Lord. And in verse 1, he says, it's the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to those who were in Babylon. And Jeremiah tells them how we should live as exiles, how we should live as people who have been displaced. And that's a great metaphor for today, because as you and I try to live our Christian life, we're not embraced by society. We don't seem to be contributors in society anymore. But we've been asked to be quiet and to keep our worship inside the church sanctuary, that we have no voice in the public square. And the church has receded. And what we have seen is chaos. Jeremiah wants us to live in exile because that's where God put us. Because I'm telling you something right now, nothing happens to you or to me unless God is involved. Don't ever forget that God is involved in your life. No matter what you have done wrong or you think you've done wrong, there is a God who cares and loves you. Amen. And there is no sin that he does not forgive. And there is no sin that you cannot confess. You and I are the product of God's love. Today, people wake up on Sunday morning, and if we are lucky, they think, church or brunch? And they see a big sign in one of the big, huge, wonderful, magnificent restaurants, or better yet, you know, resorts, hotels, says $9.99, brunch, bring your kids. So you wake up in the morning and you say, let's do brunch. Kids eat for free. So you grab a couple of your children or you grab a couple of your grandchildren and you drag them in and you said, I got the deal of the Sunday morning. When the real deal was in God's house. That's the country we live in, where people are given choices. And the idea of coming to church on Sunday morning is almost unheard on families today, because it is the day that I have made and I will rejoice in it myself, they say. Yeah, we live in a culture of disbelief. People don't want to believe. Church or brunch? Yeah. And if you say you're a believer, prove it. How do you and I live in a land like this? How do we live in exile? Because you and I are in Babylon. I've said that years ago. We've entered the gates of Babylon. We're there. We're there because of our own sins. We're there because we have not paid attention to God's call in our hearts. The church at large, we are in trouble. Because the church at large has lost its footing. Culture is against us. But maybe, just perchance, is how it's supposed to be. That when God's people disobey God, God takes care of his people. So how do you and I live in exile? Well, the first thing is you need to listen to the prophet Jeremiah. Because he tells you how to live. You know what he says? He says it. build homes, settle in, plant vines, plant roses. I'm adding now to the text. Plant plants, good plants, flowers. Marry. Marry. Get married. Hey, have children. Yeah, and let your children's children marry and have children too. Because you see, in spite of everything that's going on against, we're still God's creation. And God oversees your life. In spite of whatever goes on, God looks at you and sees you as being useful, but even more than that, loving and attractive. And he tells you, live your life as a human being. Don't stop living as you should. Because you see, often we retreat. Often we will have nothing to do with our environment. Often we want to go and hide. But he says, no, plant new flowers. Get those vines going. Be active where you are. Do something with your life. Be productive in the midst of all the issues that are going around. Live out your life. Do not be intimidated by Babylon. Don't let them suck the life out of you. You are a human being, and in God's love and creation, you have a right to live. He says, live your life. How do you live it? To the fullest. To the fullest. Scripture says that we are to live out our salvation in fear and trembling. That there is something about our life being lived out that will cause us to see our surrounding area, our surrounding culture, and still live for Him. In spite of all the issues that you may encounter that are negative, you have a right to live your life, and I want you to live your life. That's what Jeremiah says. The prophet says that to God's people in exile. He says, I want you to live. You need to be a light in darkness. I don't want you to feel sorry for yourself. Get a job. Work. Punch in. Punch out. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children. Be human. Oops. Be human. Be human. When you look a little bit more carefully to this prophecy, this actually the statement that comes through Jeremiah, there are two things that come to me that really strike at the heart. First, it says that we are in exile because Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, took us there, captives, exile. But at the same time, when you look at verse 4, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. God is in charge of your life in spite of everything wrong you have done. He is carrying you to this day right now in the palm of His hand. For you and me to be here in the now is because God has a purpose for us to fulfill in Babylon. To live a normal life. To live out our faith in the midst of all of this that's going on. To be men and women who believe in God in spite of anything around us. To carry out our duties as human beings. And what he says, so importantly, that we are to seek the peace of the city. That we are to get involved in the city. That we're going to get involved in the issues that causes the city to prosper. And this is the fallacy of so many Christians today. They don't want to get involved in the things that are going on around them because somehow, some way, they think that's not where they belong. Let me just tell you, you need to marry, have children. Your children need to get married. They need to have other children. Children's children. You need to work. You need to plant vines. You need to build houses. You need to be active in society. You cannot in any way, shape, or form hide in the ghetto of the church. Safe. God never calls us to safety. He is our safety. He causes us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He tells us, go, go, go. And as we go, we preach the gospel. We live the gospel. We do good works so that our good works will shine. And men will look at what we do and will glorify the Father who is in heaven. Pray for the peace of the city. Pray for the city. Get involved. Why is it that we don't have councilmen who are Christians? Not that they may not be. I don't know them that well. But I'm telling you, I was told the other day that clandestine forces are in charge of everything. And I said, if they're in charge of everything, it's because we have been not in charge of anything. If we want the city to prosper, you and I must put our hands in the plow and do the things that need to be done so that there will be a change. I know. Oh, I'm going to get into trouble for the next line that I'm going to say, but it has to come from my heart because I'm telling you that it is the absolute truth. Some of you are waiting for the rapture, and that's why you're going to do nothing. You know what Paul told the Thessalonians? They were a bunch of freeloaders, the Thessalonians, and they were so happy that Jesus was coming that they said, we're not going to work. We're going to just sit here in this mount and wait for Jesus to come. And they were feeding off from the widows and the people around them. And so he writes and says, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's in scripture. You got to become involved in your own society. You need to plant vines, build homes, have children, get married. Seek the peace of the city. Be a human being involved. You got to. I'm not going to mention names, but there was a young man who was running for office. I found out too late. And he was chased out by the forces of evil. I'm telling you, we need to run for offices. The school board, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Okay, where are you? School boards of people who could change things around. We need to take on this piece of the city. We need to engage ourselves on civil issues. It's just as much as a Christian to get involved in civil issues as it is coming to church on Sunday morning and singing a song, worshiping the Lord. It is the output of our life, our character that influences around us. Your influence around who you are, and who you are is God in your heart. You need to get involved. I know, you're waiting for the rapture. I'm waiting for the Lord to come for me, but between now and then, I'm going to do everything I can to get involved. For years, I was chaplain in the Montebello Police Department. I saw things from that view. Whew. Very difficult. The highest rate of divorces is among police officers, those who engage those issues, the things that I saw. I'm talking about in the 80s and part of the 90s. Then they'd make some changes. I wasn't allowed. But I'm telling you, you and I need to find ways in which we can contribute to the welfare of the city, and it means getting involved, not being passive. I want you to get married. I want you to have children. That's what prophet is saying. I want you to plant houses. It's not me saying it. It's the prophet saying it. I mean, I want you to be engaged with your culture. Get involved in there. Become responsible citizens so that the peace of the city is obtained. And I mean, this last verse I think is wonderful because it says, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. See, God knows how to do things, doesn't he? See, the idea of God being a magic wand, boop, whoof, it doesn't work that way. I know. We all pray for revival. But revival is going to happen when you get married, when you have children, when you plant vines. Chris, I know you're getting married, but it has nothing to do with you. It's going to happen when you follow through a normal sequence of life. Pray for the land, for your welfare of the land is yours. So as we approach Tuesday and we see what goes on, may it be a huge lesson that in the next cycle, your name will be in the ballot. Ooh, this is quiet here. Ooh, ¿qué pasó? No, hermanos, yo lo que quiero es echar fuera demonios. All I want to do is cast out demons. Oh, really? Is that what God called you to plant vines, to get married, to have children and children's children, to have a job, to live life in a secular society, believing that God is able to do things that you are not able to. But certainly, you're going to do the things you're able to. And as you go through the scriptures, you find that God always works through people who mind God's business in a human way. It took a long time for me to understand that God works in the ordinary, in the everyday affairs. I just wish God would do things differently, don't you? Oh, thank you, sister. We agree. But God knows what he does. And he does what he knows. And he takes us where we are and tells us, live your life. And as you and I live our life, God intervenes in our life. I've heard God speak to my heart many times, but he doesn't do it in a spooky, strange, weird trance. That's crazy stuff. Because that's not how God normally... He says, get married. Have children. Plant vines. Be normal, kind of like I'm saying, you know. Live out your life. Because as you live God's life, he will bless you and prosper you. And you will be a blessing around you. And you will cause the city to prosper. And you will prosper as well. Just one person applaud. I say here, nobody is going to applaud. So I'm about ready to go because I don't want to prolong this anymore. All I can tell you is that if we have sinned, we need to ask God to forgive us of our sin. And as a church, we have neglected the planting of the vines, the building of our homes, the caring of our children. We need to repent from that so that now we're in the exile that we properly deserve and that God has carried us here because God is here. Now we're going to do what he wants us to do and God will bless us and we will be a blessing in Babylon. Easy to be a blessing in Jerusalem. Until you sinned, that God had to kick you out of there. God move you from Jerusalem to Babylon. He moves us from where we should have been, but he corrects us and disciplines us and strengthens us out and says, this is how we should be lived. And then he says, do this. And by the way, be a blessing around you. Get involved. Far for too many years, we have built a church culture that it's not necessarily the most appropriate. I don't know. I don't know. I read my the scriptures and I find out that God is still in control and that we belong to him. And that God is going to do what he's going to do, but he's going to do it through you and through me by living normal lives. Normal lives that expect God's blessing. How is that for a challenge to you? What a wonderful opportunity. I don't have to be a mystic. I don't have to live in a small bubble of a constant revelation of what God is saying. But as a human being, you live your life and God speaks to your heart. There's that small, still voice that God continues to use in each one of us. For general principles, you find them right here in God's word. And yet inside of you, God speaks to you and you know it's God's voice. It doesn't contradict scripture, but God speaks to you. And you know what he says today? Get married. Build houses. Plant vines. Enjoy life. God's in control and God is in charge. And seek the peace of the city. Become useful elements to help the crisis we're in today. Our light should be shining more today than ever before because we've never seen such darkness. Let that darkness shine. No, let your light shine in darkness. Stand for the Lord. Live your life. Be normal. Normal Christians. Yeah. So in the midst of the exile, the story goes on that finally God's people returned to Jerusalem, but only a small portion of the people returned to Jerusalem. The rest of them decided to stay in Babylon because they lacked the Babylonian lifestyle. But there was always a remnant that kept faithful to God. We are a remnant that needs to be kept faithful to God. That when the Lord calls us home, he calls us home. But until then, we're in Babylon. Live your life. Enjoy your life. Smell the coffee. By all means, the roses. Plant the vines. Have a meaningful life. Let God take care of the big issues. God's already taken care of the big issues. Enjoy life. That's how you live in Babylon, by obeying God, by seeking God, by knowing that he is in charge. We are God's creation. He has not left us yet. Prayer meetings, of course. Seeking God, of course. Having a devotional life, of course. All of that is part of it. But on top of that, get married. Have children. Children's, 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 grandchildren, love them, care for them, feed them, put up with them. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever God calls you to live, the life that you have today, keep it up. God's design for your life. Go for it. Enjoy it. Don't be grumpy. Don't be a cynic. No sea un amargado. Plant homes, but vines, not homes, but vines. Yeah, you're going to remember that more than anything else. Plant homes, you know. Un asado. Dos asados. Cuatro asados. Barbecuing. We do that. I had one 2 days ago. Big, thick ribs like that. 2 hours to cook. planting flowers. I'm planting more flowers in my garden. Yes. Live the life that God has given you and seek the peace of the city. Let your light shine. Let your testimony be there. Let people know that you're a Christian and live out your faith in peace. Again, don't become bitter sourpuss and all that kind of stuff and with long face and getting involved with all the crazy politics and going, what do you expect in Babylon? You expect people up there to say, we're now going to have communion. Are you out of your mind? What do you expect from the secular world? But you know what to expect from God, whom you serve. And you and I are in a Babylon that we need to shine for God's glory. Get involved. Elections in 2 years. I want some of your names in that ballot. Not just people who I see here, but those who see me in the internet. Yeah, we're a menace. No, we're not. We're a blessing to society. We're a blessing. You'll never know how wonderful things can be until you engage Christians who are committed for the peace of the city. We'll do something for the homeless, all right? We will not be getting you needles. We're not going to get you dope. We're not going to let you live in the sidewalks. Christians will do much better than that. Look at the track record of what the church has done for those who were destitute. Just look at it. Look at the birth of the Salvation Army, if need be. Look at the birth of our own movement, the Foursquare Church, with a commissary that fed people all through the First and Second World War. Second World War. Fed thousands and thousands and thousands. Saved the city by giving out food and helping those who were destitute. Seek the peace of the city. Get involved with the city. Count for God in those moments. But as that opportunity comes, you live your life as a human being under the power of God's creation. You have a right to that. So get married. You got it. Have children. Have children's children. Plant vines. Build homes. I got it right that time. And seek the peace of the city. That's how you and I live in Babylon. So we're going to have a Tuesday. And Tuesday, the news is going to be all over the place. I'm finishing with this, Jeff, so you'll know I'm finishing. But let me just tell you this. It's going to happen. So there's going to be disappointments. So I'm still going to get married. I'm still going to build houses. Because I'm living out God's promises and blessings in my life. Whew. Above it all, and yet involved in it. Next time, elections will be different. I pray God will speak to you. You let me know that you're running for some special place in the civic government. I pray that you will let me know so we can pray for you. And we can say as a church, we endorse you and we love you because you espouse values that desperately are needed so that we can preserve and keep the peace of the city. Will you stand?
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for love, I know it's you. It's my joy to honor you. And all I do, I honor you. Amazing love. Amazing love, I know it's true. my joy to honor you. And all I do, I honor you. And all I do, I honor you.
This is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the whole service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.
I want you to get married. Still going to be disappointments. So, I'm still going to get married. Let me just tell you, you need to marry. Get married. Get married! So, get married, you got it.